Until earlier this year, the producing team of Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer seemed to be out of commission. They had dominated the 80s box office with Flashdance, the Beverly Hills Cop films, and Top Gun, before coming up short with Days of Thunder. But their spring release, Bad Boys, had the biggest opening of the year, and their new movie is directed by the man who made Top Gun, Tony Scott. Film critic Stephen Schiff has a review of Crimson Tide.
There's a lot to be said for the mafia, and certainly South American drug lords have their strong points. That's not to mention high-tech crime gangs led by steely European masterminds. Still, when it comes to giving a movie a really big central threat, there's nothing like the Russian nuclear arsenal. The movies have been missing it since the dissolution of the Soviet Union, and the makers of Crimson Tide must have thanked their lucky stars when Vladimir Zhirinovsky showed up to inspire at least a plausible nuclear danger scenario. In Crimson Tide, a Zhirinovsky-like nutcase has taken command of 60,000 Russian troops and a nuclear base. So the American Navy Captain Ramsey, played by Gene Hackman, is sent off in a fully loaded nuclear submarine toward eastern Russia, just in case a preemptive strike proves necessary. On board with him is his new Harvard-educated executive officer, Ron Hunter, played by Denzel Washington. And right from the start, Hackman's authoritarian bluster and Washington's smooth, slightly insolent elegance seem headed for a collision. The collision comes when the sub receives an emergency message to launch nuclear missiles against the Russian rebels, who are apparently busy arming their own nukes. Hackman decides to go ahead with the nuclear strike, but Washington disagrees.
Captain, I cannot concur.
Repeat my command.
Sir, we don't know what this message means. Our target package could have changed.
You repeat this order, or I'll find somebody who will.
No, no, you won't, sir.
You're relieved of your position. Cobb, remove Mr. Hunter from the control room. Get Lieutenant Zimmern here right now.
No, sir, I do not concur, and I do not recognize your authority to relieve me under command under Navy regulations.
Cobb, arrest this man and get him out of here!
Under operating procedures governing the release of nuclear weapons, we cannot launch our missiles unless both you and I agree.
Cobb, what are you waiting for?
Sir, this is expressly why your command must be repeated. It requires my assent. I do not give it. And furthermore, you continue upon this course and insist upon this launch without confirming this message first, I will be
forced to back
by the rules of precedence,
Captain Commanding Officer.
Command,
the USS Alabama. I order you to place the XO under arrest under charge of
Navy regulations.
I say again, I order you to place the XO under arrest under charge of mutiny.
Of course, we've been in these waters before, not just with submarine movies like The Hunt for Red October, but with the Kane Mutiny and Mutiny on the Bounty. In fact, under Tony Scott's direction, Crimson Tide is the noisiest, most jangling mutiny movie ever made. It's close-ups of scared, sweaty crewmen, and its blue and red color schemes make your retinas twitch. But this is also one of the smartest mutiny movies ever made. And I find it hard to fathom why certain critics have knocked it for what they term its timidity in not going all the way and making Hackman a wild-eyed, militaristic madman. That isn't timidity, that's intelligence. By turning the familiar central conflict into a battle of wills between two attractive and rational men, Tony Scott and the screenwriter Michael Schiffer have raised their movie above the usual hero and villain clichés. And the two lead actors perform a perfect duet, each playing off the energy level of the other, Hackman mixing shrewdness and pride with the fear that every aging lion has of the young upstarts climbing up behind him, and Washington showing how a low simmer can be more forceful than fireworks. The movie's outcome is never in any doubt, of course, and yet Scott and Schiffer manage to build suspense anyway, on movie-making technique alone. For all its expense and hype and star power, Crimson Tide is nothing more or less than a taut and well-made genre picture. And on certain summer weekends, that's exactly what's required.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.